Didn't take as long as I thought. Good. All right, well, if you haven't finished, please keep working on that and make sure you drop it off at maybe one of the guest tables at the back on your way out. But if you are finished, if you wouldn't mind passing those to your right, so just pass them down the road to your right, and the ushers will be in each of those aisles there to take those from you. So they'll come down the aisle, and we really do appreciate that. We are going to be compiling all of the data from those, and we're actually going to be getting back to you on what we found and what we feel like God is speaking in terms of where are we to go from here. So it's not that information is just going to dissipate out into the air. We actually want to use it, and we want to get back to you on where we feel like God is directing us, particularly as we come into a new year. So thank you so much for taking the time to fill those out. It really is going to be helpful. So tonight we lit the candle of peace, as we shared earlier, and thank you so much, Paul and Lori and Eden, for doing that for us. And tonight we're going to continue on that very powerful theme of peace. And it's always funny how during the Christmas season, often people feel like that's one of the least peaceful times of the year. They feel like stress increases. I think studies have been done. And it really is sad that that's the case, but that's what a lot of people feel, that there's just a lot of stress that occurs, a lot of expectations, a lot of family things happening, a lot of financial things that are happening that cause this time of year to be lacking in peace. And that's just the beginning of it. I mean, we have stress any time of the year. There is stress that hits our lives, and stress is a very difficult thing to handle. And we have to manage life, and we try to get rid of stress in our lives. Some people feed off of it. It's probably not the most healthy thing in the world, but stress is a part of life, a lack of peace. However, it goes much deeper than that. We, as we begin to unfold this idea of peace today, it goes much deeper than kind of a Band-Aid type of smile placed on, okay, it's going to be okay, I can put a smile on even though I feel like my life is falling apart, even though I'm dealing with all this pain, because really it goes beyond just the stress of a deadline, even a financial crisis, which can be very stressful. It goes beyond just relational stresses that we have. And maybe it's all of those things combined. Maybe it's poor decisions that we make that really provide this more overarching lack of peace. That we're just going through life and there's just not rest. Or the rest feels like it's few and far between. But for the most part, life feels chaotic. We feel somewhat aimless in where we are going or what we're expecting. And so it goes much beyond the stresses of life to anxiety, real anxiety that people deal with on perhaps a daily or at least consistent basis. And anxiety can grow. It can give way to fear, and it can cause panic attacks. It can lead us to discouragement. And that discouragement can have its way and lead to depression, which will isolate us. And it's just a really nasty cycle. And at the root of it is a lack of peace. And in some twisted way, at the end at the end of this lack of peace, people begin to try to find peace through actually things that are destructive and dark. And the thought that comes to mind, and not to burden us too much with this line of thinking, we're gonna make a turn here in a little bit. But the thought that came to mind with that was that of cutting. That when you hear about people that cut, it is to bring some sense of peace, to escape from the pain of their life, the pain that they're dealing with, to shift the focus of their pain to some physical pain that will bring them peace compared to the emotional turmoil that they're dealing with. And it is a very twisted and dark way to go about it. It is demonic. It is absolutely perverted in someone finding peace in a place of darkness and of abusing their own bodies. And here is what the Bible tells us about. We're going to look at Isaiah 9 tonight. We're going to look at Isaiah 9, and what we're going to find is that peace doesn't come because of our circumstances. Peace is not something that we're waiting for, that things just start going right. Peace does not happen because of a good day. A good day may alleviate stress for a moment, but it does not resolve the unrest or turmoil of the soul or of the mind or of the heart. But the Bible is very clear that peace is found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah 9, we see the country of Israel going through a lot of turmoil, a lot of upheaval, being overthrown, headed towards a time of isolation, of dispersion, where their country is overtaken, and there is a lot of unrest. And it is in that time that there is a prophetic word that is given to them about the coming Messiah, the one who will bring peace. And I want to read in Isaiah 9, I want to read verses 6 and 7. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." So I want to start, as we look through this passage and just go through it, we're going to talk about this idea of the government. That there is a child, there is a son that is coming, and then the next thing it goes into is his government. And so there is something here that is not quite right. We're talking about a child and then the authority that he is going to carry. And it's one of the things that points in this passage to this being the Messiah, that would come in humble circumstance, but would have the lordship and the authority of God himself. And so it moves into the government, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about this government, the rule and reign of Christ. But first, I want to look at these four names. I want to look at the four names that are given here. First one, Wonderful Counselor, then Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and then Prince of Peace. And as I was looking at these names that were descriptions of this coming one, the Messiah, the names that are given to Jesus, and I was looking at them in terms of this government of peace that he's bringing, and what I noticed was that these are all things that people go to for peace. They are sources of peace. So first of all, we have a Wonderful Counselor. We have the Perfect Counselor, the Wonderful Counselor. And where do we go as a society when we need peace, when we need to figure out where we are mentally and emotionally? Where do we go to get stability in our society? We go to a counselor. We go to someone that can help us work through the issues that we're facing, the pains that we've had. We go to a counselor. So the first thing that in this particular passage, and there are many names for Jesus throughout the Bible, but in this passage, what it highlighted first is Wonderful Counselor. That there is something in the person of Jesus that counsels, that brings peace, that relieves us from stress, that helps us to make sense of what this life is all about. We can go to him to make sense of where we've come from and where we're going. Who he is a wonderful and perfect counselor. Do you know him in that way? Do you know him in that way? Now, there is other counsel that we will get from others in our lives, but I believe that first and foremost, we must go to him. We must know that he is the wonderful and perfect counselor. And so my default, and how do I make sense of what is going on around me? How do I make sense of what has happened in my life? I'm going to go to him. He is perfect in his counsel. I will go to him, and we must learn to go to him. The second thing that he reveals himself to be is Mighty God. And what do we see in our world people going to is God. We have religion. We have people of all different religions going to God, going to and to who that they would proclaim to be God. And so it is a natural thing that as humanity, people have chosen to turn to God. And so he proclaims that, yes, he is the mighty God, the almighty, the Lord, the one and only true God. It is who he is. And you come to him as God. People go to God in times of trouble. Sometimes, and unfortunately, that's the only time they go to God. There is not a consistent walk with God, but God here is reaffirming that Jesus is God. He is God. That's who he is, and so you come to him as such, knowing that he knows your pain. He knows your need. He is God. And not only does he know your pain and your need, but he is able to bring peace. He is God. All power is his. He is mighty in all of his ways. And so when you come to God, it is not without effect. It is not with a hope, a faint hope, that he would do something. It is knowing that he is God and that he is able to provide you a way out. He is able to be with you and sustain you in the midst of the trial. He is able to bring peace. Because remember, he absolutely is able to bring you through the storm, but he is also able to bring you peace in the midst of the storm. Because our peace is not found in our circumstances turning around. Our peace is found in Jesus, and he is God. So we have him as wonderful counselor, mighty God. The last one it says, the third one is everlasting Father. The everlasting, the eternal Father. He always has been. He always will be. There is no beginning, there is no end. And he is present with us today. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And he pursues you and covers you in the way of a father. And that's who God is. But just so that we know that, we go beyond just mighty God to everlasting Father, an intimate, close Father, a God who pursues you in an intimate way, who comes near to you, who desires to cover you and be a Father that never leaves you nor forsakes you. A Father in our lives is meant to be a covering, is meant to be a place of refuge. The one in our lives that provides, that protects, that secures, that brings peace. The Father is meant to bring peace to the home, peace to the heart of a child. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to know the way. My dad does. And that brings peace to the heart of a child. That's why they're carefree. They know that their father... That's why they should be carefree, that their father is covering them. He is an everlasting father. Do you know him in that way? Can you go to him in that way? Do you know peace at the end of the day, in the middle of the day, in the morning when you wake up, because you have a father who covers you, who has your best in mind, who loves you? You are his son. You are his daughter. And he is covering you. He is with you today. He is the everlasting Father. Lastly, he is the Prince of Peace. When I hear prince, I think of government. And government is used, that's what we're heading into next. But his government is a government of peace. His rule and reign brings peace. People look to our government for peace, for the answers. That's where there's a lot of heated debate. There's a lot of emotion that rises to the surface when we start talking about the political realm, because we're looking for our government to bring peace, to do what is right in our society. Ultimately, Jesus here is identified as the Prince of Peace, the one who will rule and reign in peace. That's who he is. He is the one that we look to for peace, not the government at the end of the day. Absolutely, we are active in the things of government, in the way that God has given us a great country that we're able to participate in that. But at the end of the day, our peace rests in Jesus, because he is the Prince of Peace. In fact, going into this idea of government, it says that the government shall be upon his shoulder. So there is a son, there is a child coming. And we just described in small part who this child will be, who this child is, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In fact, in verse 7, it goes on and says that of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. So again, it's linking this idea of the government that is on the shoulders of Jesus ushers in peace. That's what it does. And we come under his government. When you live in a country, you either come under the government of that country, or you live in rebellion. Now, obviously, we have some in-between ground in the country that we live in, because we have the freedom of speech and these kinds of things that we're able to participate in. But overall, you are coming under a government, or you are rebelling against a government. And so Jesus has come, and the government is on his shoulders. And the increase of his government will know no end. And when his government comes, peace increases as well. The more that his government increases, the more that peace increases. That happens large scale. When we talk about countries coming to under the lordship of Jesus, under the government of Jesus, there's an amazing video about the country of Uganda. 20 years ago, Uganda was undergoing just completely awful things. The LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army, was tearing through their country, murdering left and right, stealing children, just ravishing the country. At the same time, HIV was ravishing those that weren't being ravished by this army and this rebellion. And the country was in decline. Their spirits were just going downward and downward. They got desperate. And there was a group of people that started crying out for God. Started crying out to God. God, you've got to come. You've got to come and heal our nation. You've got to come and heal our bodies. You've got to set us free from the oppression that we're facing. There's a beautiful video that captures this. A guy that has done a documentary called a transformation video. And what he begins to document is the turnaround that happens in Uganda. And how they started praying. Small groups of them, and then churches beginning to gather together and pray, and then stadiums filling up and people praying and saying, God, you have got to come. We are dedicating our nation to you. The governor, one of the high up officials, prime minister, I don't remember what they called the officials, but one of the highest in the land stood in front of the stadium of people and said, we dedicate this nation of Uganda back to you, Lord Jesus. We make you Lord. We invite you to come. We repent of the wickedness of our land that has led to this epidemic of HIV. And we, you know, they begin giving their nation to God. And there was an amazing turnaround. For the first time in history, the HIV epidemic started to backtrack. The percentages started to decrease. It had never been seen before. Because there was people that started participating in abstinence because they felt like that was biblical and that's what God would have them to do. And since then, the LRA has moved on and people have begun to rebuild. That is in the rearview mirror because they have given their government back to God, and peace over individuals' bodies, peace in terms of the rule and reign of the authority and the rebellion of the day has been reestablished. So all the way from literal governments to churches, communities, to the individual. When we give lordship to Jesus, we experience peace. When I think of government, I think of coming under the lordship of Jesus. And so we take little baby Jesus, cute little guy in the manger that's sitting in, you know, next to these cows and stuff, and we take him out of the manger in this nice little picture on Christmas, and we make him Lord, ruler, God, the one who reigns, the one that we submit our lives to and say, we will follow you. We will come under your government. Because here's the thing, when we come underneath his government, when we choose not to make him Lord, when we choose sin, when we choose rebellion, we come out from under his government and we're susceptible. We lose our peace. There is unrest. There is the effects of sin because we've just come out from underneath the covering that the lordship of Jesus has come to give us. But the invitation tonight is come under the government of Christ Jesus, our Lord. He has come, and as he has come, he has brought his government, and the increase of his government and of peace knows no end. So we want to establish firmly our lives under his control. Because when we place our lives in his control, in his hands, then we find peace. We know peace. And when we find peace, it is like a river that refreshes the mind, the body, the soul. And it begins to flow in us and through us because we live in a world that is desperate for peace, that doesn't know what to do with their pain, that doesn't know what to do with the stresses and chaos of life, and they're asking for peace, and they're looking for it in all the wrong places because peace is found solely in the person of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of anguish, a lot of striving, a lot of burnout, a lot of depression that can be saved if we could only show this world that peace is not found in all these things that you're striving and searching for, the things that you're giving your life to, that you think will bring fulfillment and peace, but instead it's found in Jesus. And out of him you can live a life that is full, a life that is satisfying, and a life that is filled with peace. The picture I have of this is coming to Jesus. And as you come to him, there's all this weight on your shoulders, the stresses of life, anxiety, maybe discouragement and depression, pain that you're just carrying, and it is weighing down your shoulders, and you don't have any rest in your life. And you bring it to him, and all of a sudden he is standing over you. And compared to him, you are just small, and his shoulders are over you. And now this weight that is coming down, it is not on your shoulders anymore, it is now on his shoulders. And all of a sudden you feel it, and you're like, what's happened? And you look up and you see that Jesus is over you, that he is protecting you, that he is covering you. And in that moment, there's nowhere else that you'd rather be. You don't want to escape his covering, his rule, his reign, his guidance. There's nowhere else that you want to be because you've just felt the weight of the world. And his peace came when you came under his government, his rule, when you made him Lord. Not just one time, when maybe you asked Jesus to come into your heart and prayed a prayer, but day in and day out saying, you are Lord today. And the decisions I make today will be because you've said to do them, because that's where you've led me, because you are Lord. And I will find peace today because I'm going to walk with you, and you are the Prince of Peace. You are the everlasting Father. You are the mighty, powerful God, you are my counselor, so I trust you today. You will bring me peace. And it's powerful. It is a powerful current, peace is. It's not a smiley face. It's not a good day. I feel better now. It is a powerful current that is lasting, that is only increasing. It increases when we walk with Jesus. And so we stay in the place of his leadership. We stay there. That's why we come to church, not out of religious duty, but because we're saying, okay, I need other people in my life to say, okay, I want to stay here. I want to run. I want to live life with other people that want to stay there also, that will say, hey, it seems like you're inching out towards rebellion. Are you really giving your life to Jesus? You know, friends that can walk with you and say those kinds of things to you so that we stay under his rule and reign and experience the current of peace. Now, there are things that he asks us to carry. There is weight that we feel even when we are walking with him, but there is a big difference when daily we are allowing him to be Lord. For example, and I used this earlier in talking about everlasting father, but as a father, I want to bring peace to my home. I don't want my kids to have to deal with the weighty things of this world. They have no business doing that. They're children. And so I don't just send them out to see and hear and be a part of whatever. I monitor. I guide. I direct. If there's something that's questionable, and they're going to be there, then I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be able to speak into it. I'm going to be able to protect. I'm going to be able to give godly wisdom. And I want my home to be a place of refuge, that when they come to my home, when they come home, there is peace. There is joy, there is life, there is not worry, there is not concern. However, I cannot do that. We cannot do that on our own. Half the people in this room approximately have come from broken homes. You as a child perhaps have felt lack of peace. There's not peace here. There's turmoil, there's friction, there's unrest. And at times I bring that into my home. I bring stress into the home. I bring a hard day home and I'm easily irritable towards my children. I bring that in. I have to daily say, God, you're Lord. Bring your peace. I want to make my home a place of peace. And so even on the drive home, I'll just pray and say, God, just bring peace to me. I'm feeling unrest with what this thing that's happened today or this conversation or what we're going to do about this. I need your peace. I need your peace, God. You are Lord. And it's not about this day being bad. It's not about whether it was a good day. It's about today is a day that you are Lord, and I have peace because the grace of God is here today. And so I'm going to have peace, and I want to take peace into my home because not because I can order it all and get it all together and always feel good about what's going on, but because I'm saying, God, you are the Prince of Peace. Won't you come and bring that over my home? Won't you help me bring that to my home, to my kids, to my wife, because I want them to flourish. I want to lead them into places of peace. And I have to give it to him because he's given me a responsibility to bring peace to others. There are people in your life that he's asking you to be a place of peace, to not bring the anxiety and stresses of the world, but to bring peace that comes from his heart. Where people come to you and say, how are you dealing with this? I would have cratered. I don't know how you're getting through. And you, with all honesty, can say, it is the most difficult thing I've been through, or whatever the honest thing is, you can be honest with it. But say, the only answer I have is that every day God is sustaining me. I have had to turn to him more than ever before. Maybe before in your life you had prayed, but you know, before meals or maybe at church or you know, a little prayer when you woke up. But maybe in that season you were on your knees hours a day because you're heavy and hard and you're having to go to God to get peace. And then your peace begins to flow to others. I want that. I want to know how to live in that. Jesus came, and as we celebrate his arrival, we celebrate peace that came to this earth, that came out of turmoil, that came out of war, that came out of destruction, that came out of pain, that came out of brokenness, a peace that came. A peace that, as was read earlier in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, a peace that transcends all understanding. You're right, I should be stressed out. I should be going out of my mind, but I just got peace. I've given it to God, and I don't even understand it. I don't have answers to what's going to happen. It's not all figured out. That's not what's brought the peace, the understanding, the figuring it out. Jesus has simply brought the peace. I've given it to him. I'm not anxious about anything, but in everything, I'm going to him. I'm praying. I'm seeking his face. And as I do that, there is a peace that has come that goes beyond understanding. And it's guarding my heart. It's guarding my mind. It's guarding my family. It's guarding those in my life in Christ Jesus. So God, we're asking tonight that we would allow the rule and the reign of Christ, your Lordship, Jesus, to come over us. That we would put you in the driver's seat. That you would be on the throne of our lives making the decisions, not us. But that every day we would come under you. And that as we do that, we would experience a current of peace that flows like a river, that refreshes, that sweeps us away, that brings life. So we're going to respond to this word. And you don't have to figure out your stressful situation. That's not what we're here to do. What we're here to do is to acknowledge again Jesus as Lord. And so as we take a time to just respond to what God is doing, that's where we start. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And in that, acknowledging the places in your life that you have not made him Lord. The decisions that you're making that are separate from his guidance and his direction. And just coming to him and saying, God, again, I want to make you Lord. Lord of my life. Lord of everything I do. I acknowledge that I have not made you Lord in these decisions, in these areas, and I am suffering from unrest and anxiety, discouragement as a result. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, if that's you, you don't have to do this, but I just want to invite you to come forward and just get on your knees and say, God, I need your peace. And I'm starting in the place of just asking you to come and rule and reign over my life. That your rule and reign would increase and my peace would increase. And as you're standing down here, as you're kneeling down here and praying to God, I'm just going to ask some of our leaders then to come and just pray over you the peace of God to flood over you. So let's all stand together as we respond. One of the most important times of our service, actually taking the things that God is speaking to you and responding to them. So if you're saying, I need peace, I need your peace, God. I want to make you Lord. I just want to invite you to respond. Sometimes there's just something powerful that happens when we move out of our seats and we respond. And as you're moving forward, you're moving under that covering of God's government, of his Father's heart for you. And so as you kneel before him, just say, God, I kneel before you as Lord, making you Lord. Some of our leaders, after a minute or two here, are going to come and just pray for you, lay a hand on your shoulder, and pray that you would experience his peace in an increasing way.